Good afternoon, my friends. Thanks for coming to my webcast for this Saturday afternoon. It's been kind of a cool day in LA. I've stayed inside all day, taking care of business, enjoying taking care of myself. Many of you may get turned off if you don't like what they call long hair music. I advise you not to listen to this. But if you love the classics, and what I mean by the classics, well, let me start off. I don't want to tease you. I want to let you know who I'm playing from today. And we said, like we said, right? We said 31 days of good music, right? Until we get on down to it. Ludwig von Beethoven, he was born in the year 1770. That's 6 years before America was founded. But Europe was on a highway roller coaster, fighting plagues, fleas, and stuff like that. The British were going all over and conquering other nations and plundering the fields and taking the ravages of the gold and the ore back to Europe, to little islands. The Belgians were doing the same. The Germans were fighting wars over the borders. And so the Anglo races were killing and fighting, and the African nations were in turmoil. They didn't have any form of recognized central government. But at the time when this was out, their lands were being plummeted. Also, why am I doing this? Because I love music and it's Christmas time and I am an educator. A person called me here at my home today and I said, I can't speak with you because I'm getting ready to do a spoof on Ludwig von Beethoven. And the brother said, who? I said, Beethoven. Who's that? And I said, wait a minute, you've never heard Beethoven? And he said, no. Well, I'm just gonna play a few bars from this, and you know exactly who I'm talking about. Mr. Beethoven, give us your introductory notes here. Right. Now, surely we've heard that before, right? No? You've never heard that? Come on. On commercials? Football games? Wait a minute. Classical movies? I mean, the big ones. Oh, come on, Ludwig. Give us a little bit more. Thank you. I thought I'd break in at 14 minutes into this piece because many of you have never taken too much time to listen to great music like this. One man wrote every note of music for every instrument in this symphony orchestra. One man. I'm going to take the next 45 minutes and educate you. This piece is brilliant. Now, you may say, John, I think you've gone mad. No, I haven't gone mad. No, I haven't. I've been listening to this music ever since I was a little kid. I think I mentioned to you years ago on this website that my mother had classical 78 records, and she played them. My father even liked that music. Came up in a musical family. See, it's not just R&B, rhythm and blues, jazz, Miles Davis, John Coltrane. No, a little bit of Ludwig. That's right. The man who composed this priceless legacy of music was not a saintly character with a mild and benevolent personality, but his heart was in the right place, and he felt deeply about mankind. You can tell that by how he does his music. He didn't conform to an archetypal romantic notion of a composer neglected by the world and writing music only for the posterity, because his contemporaries neither understood his works nor wanted to hear them. That's right. When he wrote his music, Ludwig, what is this? What is this? Are you nervous? Dum, dum. Dum, dum, bum, 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 bum. What is that all about? Well, Reggie, if you ever listen to this webcast, I'm going to give a little bit of background because Reggie was the guy that called me. And I said, I'm getting ready to do Ludwig von Beethoven. And he said, who is that? And I said to Reggie, I said, you mean to tell me you've never heard of him? You know, African-Americans, you know. Now, you know, if you say Sam Cooke, yeah, I heard of him. Natalie Cole, yeah. Nat King Cole, yeah. Count Basie, yeah. Ludwig? What? What's he, German? He's European? Yeah. Yeah. One man wrote every note, and that's just one record that I'm going to play. I have a lot of other good stuff here that I want to spin for you. One that is well known, and I'll be playing portions of it because he wrote large pieces, to say the least. This next, I'll be playing from, I want to do number two, the first movement, Allegretto, and the second movement, Allegretto, and the third movement of the Presto, and I'll be playing from Overture number 3, or the Sonata number 14 in C sharp major, and of course, from Opus 27 Moonlight. There's so much. And Ludwig wrote all of this. I have it, a set of CDs that I bought years ago, because Lucy and I, around the Christmas time, we used to love to listen to classical music. And I have these huge Bose speakers in my living room. That's where I really like to listen to it, because I can hear every instrument. I hope that as you play me, you can play this on some good sounding instruments that's going to be able to benefit you in listening, because these are really some fantastic numbers that I'm going to play for you now. And I want to play this next number. I know that most of you are very familiar with it, so let's enjoy some more Beethoven. Remember, one guy wrote the sheet music for every instrument playing. You should get a picture of us of the LA Symphony Orchestra at the Walt Disney Music Center. You will be able to see what's going on. As a matter of fact, if you really want to have a nice show, that would be the show to go to. To go to the Disney Music Hall and listen to music like this. Here's another excellent one from the Library of Ludwig. You've heard that before. Ludwig Beethoven was born in Bonn, Germany, in the year 1770. The exact date was variously given as the 15th, the 16th, or the 17th, because back there they didn't keep records the way we do. Perhaps he was destined from birth to be controversial. His father, Johann von Beethoven, was employed as a singer at the court of an elector of Cologne. The family was far from rich, a situation which was not helped by Johann's drinking habits. So they had alcoholics back in the day. The young Ludwig received his first musical tuition from his father, who encouraged his son's progress, made an unsuccessful attempt to turn him into a child prodigy. Ludwig's first public appearance as a pianist was in March of the year 1778, 2 years after the United States became a country after the war with England. With the notice approaching, the concert applied that Beethoven was still only 6 years of age, very similar to Amadeus Mozart, who was also a brilliant youngster. And I believe that today there are some geniuses born within our midst. He received further tuition as he was learning violin, viola, and the organ, as well as piano, from a number of musicians. But the most effective seems to have been Neffe, who was a senior court musician, who also gave him lessons in composition. You can tell by the way his fingers hit the keys that he was a man that was into appreciating, playing with feeling. By the time Beethoven was 13 years old, he was assisting Niffy, the guy that gave him a contribution for his lessons, in many of his latter duties. He played various instruments in the orchestra and was generally advancing in technique and in the knowledge of the then popular composers and others. Eventually, in the year 1787, Beethoven went to Vienna in his hopes of meeting Mozart and receiving lessons from him. They did meet, and Mozart spoke highly of Beethoven's playing, but circumstances prevented any very beneficial outcome. Remember, they didn't have electricity back in that day, recording instruments the way they have now. It was a completely different world. As a matter of fact, if you'd love to see a wonderful movie, it's called Amadeus. And look at the way Mozart died, and look at the way they buried him. That was very commonplace. So the worsening health of Beethoven's mother made it imperative that he return to Bonn, Germany, only after a short time in Vienna in the spring of 1787. I'm going to play another number that you're very familiar with also. Listen closely. You know this music. You just never know who did it. Thank you. Now, let me share something with you. Because you may be listening to this saying, I don't get it, John. I don't get it. Get it? Yes, you do. This is the sound of brilliance. Obviously, this isn't a recording of him playing his own music. They didn't have recordings. But they preserved it on sheet music. And when you go to the concert halls, the Walt Disney concert hall, here's the beauty of going to a concert or a concerto or any kind of an event where you have a world-renowned pianist playing some of the master's music, and Beethoven obviously ranks high as one of the masters. Listen, listen. Not only to write the music for each instrument, but to, I mean, the genius of it. You have to go to a music center to see this done. Like the Hollywood Bowl. Man, I love during the summer months to go to the Hollywood Bowl when they have classical music. I'm not able to walk those steps in that great amphitheater out there, but I'll take a wheelchair the next time I go to roll myself up there if I have to rent one. But to hear that music in the open air like that, I'm featuring Wolfgang. No, not Wolfgang. Ludwig von Beethoven. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. By 1787, he had a lot of numbers out, compositions to his credit, mostly for piano, small groups of instruments. He also had written some songs. In particular, he was becoming known as a brilliant pianist, very skilled at improvisation, which is an attitude held in great esteem at that time. Because, you know, they were just matter-of-factly playing classical music the way the kings or the rich people wanted to hear it. Beethoven, obviously, was really off the chain. You can hear that in his music. It was a done thing for pianists to show their ability to improvise, and he did that. And Beethoven's prowess gained him access to musical life in high society. His friendships with the von Bruniums, what's his name here, the Waldstein families, was also a great help. And many people went to hear him play. Thus, despite domestic problems that he had, and a lot of those artists at that time, Mozart had domestic problems. Most of them did financing problems to make money and to keep that money coming in. And remember, they lit candles in the movie theaters. It was cold in there back in the day. But to go and hear Mozart or a Beethoven or a Liszt or a Wagner, I mean, was wonderful. I recall when doing a study on the Chancellor Adolf Hitler of Nazi Germany, he used to love to go and get the German Philharmonic Orchestra to play Wagner. Now, there's a dude that I'd like to showcase one day. Wagner's music was dun, 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 dun. Well, you know, just something off of the chain. But this is good music. So you don't want to hear me. I'm going to continue to play it and at least one more number, and then I'll let you go. You know this one? Huh? 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 Do you? Sure you do. Beethoven.
Thank you.
got to stop it right here because this is a piano concerto. Now, the orchestra gave that fantastic introduction. And then Ludwig begins to tickle the keys. Now, here's the art and the giftedness in loving this kind of music. Because when the young pianist sets in front of you in the concert hall, and there's a conductor conducting the orchestra, he has full knowledge of what each section in the orchestra is supposed to play, and then he gestures to the person that's playing Beethoven's music on the piano, and it sounded, and it must sound exactly like this.
Thank you.
see, you're one of those people that believe that, but this guy became such a famous guy, he must have died rich. No, something else happened. Fate had struck a blow, which could hardly have been more cruel and devastating to Ludwig, because Beethoven realized that he was going deaf. That's right, he couldn't hear. And in 1802, in Halle, I can't say the German city, he wrote what was technically his will in the form of a document referred to as the Heiligenstift Testament, but in which he also tells of his increasing deafness and of the effect that that knowledge was having on his inner personality and outward behavior. Basically, he was going crazy. That's why, as a young man in high school, I studied him and listened to his music, and I was ever intrigued at how brilliant he is in going deaf. It would be difficult for anyone else who has a scrap of humanity to read this testament and not find it almost unbearable when it talks about its tragic implications in a desperate plea to understand. Listen to him talk about it on that piano. For this whole orchestra anymore is enough to drive you crazy. He wrote a symphony. I believe it was called, if I'm not mistaken, the Unfinished Symphony, because he couldn't finish it because he couldn't hear. Devastated him. You know what I learned from this lesson about Beethoven and his fate? Each of us has a limit of creativity that we are trying to reach. But when God says the light is out, the light is out. And at the end of all of that, what are we to say? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Richard Smallwood's battle with depression. And I thought about that. But from knowing this about Beethoven, we know that he had come near to suicide. And it was only faith in his musical mission which prevented his taking his own life. In the will, he addressed it to his two younger brothers. To be accurate, only one of them at the time it was written yet in many respects it seems intended for the whole world. It ends on a note of almost complete despair, almost but not quite. With tremendous fortitude, Beethoven went on composing and somehow managed to instill into his work inspiration and often vigorous humor, which transcended whatever personal grief he may have been suffering from time to time in their composition. Obviously, his career as a pianist diminished as deftness increased, and his composing became the main source of income. Ludwig, play on. Listen to this ending. Thank you for coming to my website today and listening and learning about one of the great artists of human history. We're going to let him end up playing his music. I love me some Beethoven. I miss listening to it with Andalusia. She loved it also. Christmas was a special time when we take out all of our music and I'd say, love, let's see who influenced our ears to hear some of the best music ever played. And by the way, in that last concerto, that wasn't two twin pianos playing. There was one man on a piano, both hands doing something completely unimaginatory to the human mind. That's what makes listening to long hair music so beautiful. You have to get into it. So if you have a piano, like I grew up with a piano in the homes that I grew up in, but I never heard it played like this. This was brilliance on a level. All I can say is thank God for the beauty of art that he gives to just a few of his creatures. Thank God for Ludwig von Beethoven. Thank you for coming to my side.